Starting a podcast is not easy. That's why we've created hundreds of episodes and thousands of posts all about it. But today, this is the opposite. This is not about starting a podcast. This is about the people behind the podcast. And in this case, we're talking to attorney and founder, Jared Miguez. He started a podcast for his business 6 months ago. And this is everything you need to know about doing the same for your business. How to do it, who to incorporate in the podcast, and also what to do. We're covering it all in this interview today. And by the end of this podcast, you're gonna learn if a podcast is right for your business, and if so, when and how to start it. My name is Ryan Sullivan, founder of Podcast Principles. We make it as easy as possible for business owners like yourself to start podcasts. And this is our interview with founder, attorney, and client, Jared Miguez. Jared Miguez, happy to have you, man. How you doing?
Hey, buddy. Thanks for having me. I'm really excited about this, dude.
This is a long time coming. So as they got in the intro, a little bit of the background, but we're going to unpack the full story over the next 30 minutes for business owners who are tuning in. You want to listen in because this is the angle for starting a podcast. So Jared's going to go through that. Full transparency, he is a client of Podcast Principles as well, but that's not the full focus today. What I want to really get into, Jared, is let's start with this. Why a podcast? We will fill in all of the details as we go in terms of who you are and what you guys do, but what was the spark for your podcast originally for you and the business?
Yeah, a little bit of context. We're a law firm and title company. We've been up for 2 years. So a lot of people don't expect a law firm and a title company to necessarily have a podcast. But, you know, our entire purpose of our organization is to promote the people that we do business with and create an environment where they can succeed. And so, you know, being that we like video marketing for our firm and we did a lot of just short form stuff for social, podcast was a way for us to highlight our clients. And as a law firm, the more productive our clients are, the more they grow, the more opportunities they have for us to service them as lawyers. And so our podcast is an extension of our purpose. It's to create an environment where our clients can succeed. And we give them the tool of video content through our podcast by giving them the long form to go show their clients, but also the short form that they can post on social.
And why is video important? Because you didn't have to do... We don't have to do all this right here. We could just say, podcast is just audio, you know, and just call it a day. But why is the video so important?
It's part of the culture and the branding and the vibe. I mean, like if you watch my video, I tell all my clients this, like if you come to my firm, it's because you want to work with the person that I am, the values that we have. You know what you're going to get when you walk in the door, right? There's no secrets. Like you're not going to walk in and expect like books on the wall and a nice red carpet and a lawyer in a 3-piece suit if you walk into my firm. It's just not who we are. And you know that before you walk in the door because you can see our social content and know what kind of people that we are and the type of business that we run. And so I think that content on social media is a way for you to attract your ideal client, right? And you speak to them directly through your content, get more people that you want to be around on your podcast so that they can share the content with their friends and family who are going to most likely be more like them, because people I want to be around. And so it just kind of expands my network and attracts the people to me that I want to do business with, and hopefully keeps the people that I don't want to do business from coming in my door at all. So I don't have to go through the pain of process of figuring out whether we're going to enjoy doing business together or not.
Do you think, is there a certain way that you would expect a law firm to be? And are you guys kind of pushing, breaking the mold in a way? Like, how do you look at that? You know, do you look at other firms and you're like, oh, I don't want to be like them? Or do you guys really just stay in there in your own lane that you're really focused on?
But there's that concept of like, if not wanting to hire somebody who has bad habits. I'm a perfect example of that. I've never worked at a law firm other than the firm that I was at before and the firm that I'm at now. And so I'm somewhat hard-headed. I mean, I like to do things my own way. I like rules, but I don't like dumb rules. And so I felt like if I went to school for as long as I did and put in the effort that I did, I could kind of make some of the rules myself. And so being a long-haired casual attorney was something that I wanted to do. And it so happened that some other people felt similar. They just didn't have the courage to do it. So me and my partners created a culture and a space for people to be that way. And so I think that before I maybe started in my market, that people thought that you couldn't do what we do as lawyers. But I think we're kind of setting the bar a little bit for the culture that we have here. People walk in our office, they know that they're going to get a more laid back, approachable feel. And I think in 2024, going into 2025, those people want. And so I don't really consider much about what other people do or think. I just try to be myself and be genuine. And people are attracted to that, I think. And also our attorneys that come to work with us, they work with us because they want to have that same feel. They don't want to go wear a 3-piece suit. And I have friends that are lawyers that want to dress that way. And they do. And they would never come want to work for me, which is fine. Similar to our clients. I'm happy for those guys to go have their own practice because I can be different than them and attract different people.
I'm with you, man. As you know, we don't rock the suits either.
Yeah.
I own one and it doesn't fit. So that's where I'll, that's kind of where it 100%. Ends with me.
100%.
But, listen, this is going to transition us into the podcast pretty easily, but I wanted to double click on the local side of things, because as a law firm, as a title company, as a media agency, you know, you guys are do a lot with your community. And in the online business space or the digital marketing space or a lot of where we, you know, do a lot of work, we can do work internationally. We can work globally. And that's fantastic. I love that part. But can you talk a little bit about the local side serving your kind of locality and what that means to you?
Yeah. I mean, you could be a law firm and have a goal of being a regional presence or statewide presence or national presence if you want. I've kind of gone down that rabbit hole in the past. I worked at a firm. We did that more of a regional presence, and the going wide as opposed to going deep doesn't intrigue me as much anymore. I want to be able to spend my dollars and invest in my local community. And so, you know, a lot of people think podcasts like Joe Rogan and these big Gary Vee, like these big guys have these big global presences. But my goal for the podcast is to drive a business and ROI back to my business. And so we keep it local and we support the people that are in our community that don't know how to do video, think it's scary to do video, or they think it's too expensive. Like those are the three reasons why I think people don't do it. And so we get people on our podcast to show them that it's not a high bar. It doesn't have to be expensive. And we take kind of the heavy lifting off their plate because we do own a production company too. And so we're focused on local and driving ROI back to our business. So you and I have talked about, because you know, coach our team, and we've talked about how and why we exist. And we've kind of thought about raising money and trying to make money on our podcast. But really, the podcast is just a lead generator back to our firm. And it working. People in our community know who we are because of the fact that we do so much volume on video and because we promote our clients and in our community. And so I think, you know, you can make a big impact on your local community doing podcasts. And if your intention is to support the business that you have, podcasting drives so much work back to your firm if you can promote and support the people that you have on your podcast.
Yeah, so we'll get deeper into the podcast and the Arena Collective and you know, the exactly what you guys do, but what you're talking about is something that this is a lot of businesses, especially the more successful you are, I think the less you think about this too, which is there is internal culture, right? And then there's the external culture and what you're portraying, right? And it's brand, right? Like marketing is not branding. They're two different things. And so I mean, this is very, my, you know, a small knowledge of how the legal industry works, but I know it can be very competitive. It can be very brutal if you're coming into it, you know, from a paralegal and then working your way up. And so a lot of firms are like, very cutthroat in recruiting. This happens too, right? It's not just law. There's so many industries, finance, you name it. And so I think it's that much more important to put out have a culture internally and then also have it externally. And I think that's what you guys have done such a good job of with the podcast is you can tell, like you said before, you know, your values then spread through the business, but then you're also empowering the people that work with you to be on the podcast too and work on the podcast. So your internal matches the external, if you kind of see what I'm trying to say.
100%. Yeah. I mean, we treat our employees like they're our clients. Like we tell them, like, what can we do to help you succeed? And we give them every opportunity. Like Our big vision is to have the In the Arena podcast be one of the Arena Collective's video shows that we have. But eventually, if one of the other employees wants to have their own show, they can go down their own rabbit hole of maybe interviewing local football coaches or going to all the women's organizations in town and promoting all of them and having conversations with them and give each one of our employees their own platform to tell their story or to attract the type of people that they want to attract to our firm. So, yeah, I mean, we use this. This is just our toes just barely touching the water at this point. Like, we plan to do a lot with video, and our podcast and video production is a gateway to so many opportunities within the local community.
I love it, man. I love it. So I want to, like I said, we're going to dive into the podcast, man, but there's just so much value here in what you guys do. And I really want folks listening, watching to capture it. So can you talk a little bit about why you are not just a law firm and what the collective nature of the Arena Collective is? Because I think that's such a important point. And this is, yeah. I'll kind of end this question that's not really a question on this note, which is everything you do as a business or as a brand, it's not set. There's no separation, right? It's, mm-hmm. You may have these different entities, or we do production and we do strategy and we do this, but it's really an umbrella. And I can tell that that's what you're doing and also trying to do is create this kind of arena. That's the name of it, but the Arena Collective, which is this umbrella of companies that all serve one main goal and mission, right? And they can have their sub goals and missions below. But can you talk a little bit about why you guys are not your standard law firm and also the collective nature of these different companies that you have?
Yeah, our ultimate goal is to invest in real estate and businesses. Yeah, I don't want to have all my eggs in one basket. I know the law, and I know more specifically real estate. So we have a title company that does about 1,200 real estate deals a year. And then being that we're lawyers, we have the opportunity to serve other people in other ways. So we do business consulting and we do estate planning work. And so the goal is for us to, again, invest in real estate and invest in businesses. So we support local businesses so we can learn as we go. We make money through that. So we have capital to invest in these opportunities. And so the media company was the first opportunity for us to invest in a business. We don't own that company 100%. Our partner, Jonah, is the one who owns the other 50. And we support him in the way that we can support him through our operations and our business acumen. And then he does the production side. And then we've got four other businesses that we own doing similar things. We have operators who operate the business. We just serve as the counsel, and we give them advice and we help them grow, use our platforms to connect them and get their name out there from a marketing standpoint. And our plan is to continue to do that. And we're actually going to make our first real estate investment soon. And so we're going to be buying properties with people that we do real estate deals with. And so our value add to the community is our business services and our real estate services. And we're going to start investing our capital into those opportunities as they come up. So if you came to me and said, I want you to help me with my business, we can help you and consult you. But if you need capital, we can invest in your business. And if you want us to invest and be a partner with you on that, so you can kind of fall under the collective umbrella and be a part of what we're doing, then we can invest in your company that way too. So, you know, I'm not a traditional lawyer. Like, I honestly, that's probably my weakest, the weakest side of what I do every day. But what I do is I have ideas, I solve problems, and I'm good at building relationships. So that's what I do. I have people on my team that are much better lawyers than me that solve people's real legal problems. I just get the opportunity to serve people in another way.
This is something that I've been doing with my coach, which is, you know, which I'm seeing with you is you happen to be a lawyer.
Yeah.
Right. You do all these things, but I happen to be a lawyer. Right. Yeah. So it's like my job is to inspire people to use their voice. Right. But I happen to help people with their podcast. Right.
Yeah. Sure.
So that's what I see with you too. And this is really what, if you look in the upper echelons of business, you know, business leaders, CEOs, et cetera, that's really what it is. They function on purpose. And then like the fuel is the purpose. And then they happen to have these titles. Right.
Yeah.
100%. And so in that vein, this is something that I've asked. I'll do a callback to Shelby's episode for folks listening and watching. Two episodes, actually. If you haven't watched those, definitely check those out if you want the marketing brain, as we know. Yeah,
she's great.
So this is something I've asked her as well. And I'm curious to know your answer, which is if you say you have a, you know, business leader, CEO, founder, you know, quote, somebody on paper who's successful, right? they're like, yeah, I have my business, I do what I do, but I don't need to create content. I don't need to create social beyond social media. You know, I don't have anything to say. You know, it's all kind of been said. Everybody has a podcast. What would your advice be to somebody who has that mindset or doesn't really see maybe the value in starting to create content around their business?
Yeah. So, dude, I see so many people in business in general get FOMO. And what I mean by that is they'll come to me and say, man, I was just at this mastermind and I heard this person saying this, or I was just at this meeting, I heard this person saying that they do that. Should I do that? How do I get involved in? How do I do more? How do I do video production? My first question to every one of them is your business creating the life that you want to, that you want your business to create? Because if your business is already doing that for you, then it's already operating the way you need it to. You don't need to go down the rabbit hole of doing things differently. Enjoy the business you've created. But if your business isn't doing what you want it to do for you, marketing and video is a great way for you to grow your business. And so if they say, well, no, I want to grow. Okay, well, the next question is, do you know who your ideal client is? If you don't know who your ideal client is, you don't know what you need to say on social media or on video in order to attract those people to you. So like, for example, if your client wants to be educated and you post entertaining content, you might get a bunch of clicks on your videos, but you're not getting the ROI because they're not calling you because they're just watching your video moving on. So if you create, if your client wants educational content and you create that and you speak to education that they need, they're going to call you and thinking you and they need you. And you might not think that, you might think everybody has a podcast, but the more that you post content of the, what your, that your ideal client wants to hear, the more you're going to get the attention of those types of people. And you're, it's going to be contagious. People are going to start sharing it and giving it to their friends if it's actually quality, and you're going to grow your business through video. Even if you don't see it immediately, the more you do it, the more you'll learn, the more you'll gear it towards speaking to the right person, the right people, and it's going to grow your business. It's our business is a perfect example. There's no arguing that the 500 unique short form videos and the 40 podcast episodes we put out there have not helped us get where we're going. Like, there's no way we'd be here without it.
I love it, man. I love it so much. Yeah, I wish everybody understood, but I also think that they have to start, or maybe they need a little catalyst, or maybe you want to be a guest on a podcast, or, you know, I'm open to that. You know, I'm open to have your team record you on a call, right? I mean, yeah. There's so much content that happens during your day and you're just not 100%. Capturing it, right? Yeah. So it doesn't have to be anything. It could just be, you could just send it to your team, you know, send it to your best friend. It doesn't matter. But
I gave this idea to a guy once. He's a mortgage lender and he wanted to figure out what he could post to set himself apart as a mortgage lender. And I, you know, there's so much opportunity in the real estate world. I said, this dude loves hunting. Like, the dude is in the deer stand the entire hunting. He pretty much just gone for 90 days of the year. And I said, you should interview real estate agents that are also deer hunters and just have conversation, tell hunting stories. You're going to build a better relationship with those real estate agents, but also you share that on social media and other people who are in real estate that like hunting are going to be attracted to that because they're going to want to know, how does this dude have a successful mortgage company and also hunt 90 days out of the year? Like, if you're interested in hunting and real estate, you're going to listen to that cool hunting stories and figure out the strategy on how I can be more in the deer stand and also make money while I'm doing it. So like, there's, if you're getting creative and think outside the box and you focus on what you're passionate about, what you love, then you can create content about anything and you're going to start attracting people that are going to be liking and enjoying the podcast and the content you're creating.
That's the thing. You and that your differentiator is already there. Mm-hmm. We just have to put it down on paper. We just got to extract it, right? And these podcasts are going to be the smallest big podcasts that exist, right? Because you have people who own one gas station, and then you have people who own 10 gas stations, and then you have people who own 50 gas stations. There's three different podcasts right there. Now, yeah, that 100%. Total addressable market of people, it might be 2,500 people who own 10 plus gas stations. But now you just created the podcast for them, right? So and your mortgage and deer hunting example is great. I actually know a couple guys who have a marketing related podcast and their entire studio is covered in antlers, right? And that's their thing, right? Yeah. And they love to do it. And guess what that's going to also do is get you continuing to record that every single week because you actually love it And mm-hmm. you're sure, yes, there may be a business angle to it, or you're talking about the things that you do day to day, but you're also incorporating that element that gets that it's stickiness, you know, it gets you wanting to continue to talk about it. I can do 10 of these a day. Yeah. I love this, you know? Yeah. Like, that's too. Why we do it.
100%. That's all. That was like me and Allie were setting rocks for our quarterly rocks and goals for the quarter. And I was like, I want to be on some more podcasts. I got to talk more to people about this stuff because I just think people miss the boat. Like one of the biggest groups of people that I think have an opportunity are financial advisors, because those people have so many business, like their best clients are their business clients, the ones that are successful, that have money, right? Obviously, the more money they manage, the more money they make. Like, why don't you create a podcast? Well, I can't do that. We're heavily regulated with content. I'm like, you shouldn't talk about financial advising one bit. All you should do is promote your clients so they can grow their business more so that you have more money to manage. How does that not click in people's brains? I mean, the more you use video to promote your clients, the more they're going to be successful and the more opportunity you're going to have to serve them. It just, the bar's low, dude. You get a microphone and a camera and you record it, put it on the internet. It doesn't have to be professional. It just needs to be decent enough that people can enjoy listening to it.
Such a great point. And also, there's other options. What we call it is a ghost podcast. So if you're a financial advisor, you record a podcast, right? But you pull all the clips from it and then you send the clips to compliance instead of the full episode. And now you got 50 to 60% of the benefits of the podcast and also compliance, also compliant. And you also have a podcast and you have all that content. So I'm with you, man. It's about, if you know the deal, I mean, the right people are going to figure it out.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
They're going to figure out how to make it work, or they're going to find a way. Like you said, I mean, I have never even thought of that, which is don't even talk. Basically, yeah. Just have your, and just tell your clients, be like, hey, listen, like really, you know, I'm under this obligation by compliance. There's only certain things I can say, but I'm going to ask you questions, right? And that's what we're doing right now, right? Like I don't even know. I mean, I think we worked together like years ago, Jared, I'm pretty sure first. And then we kind of like, you were building your business. Then when you came back, you had like two more businesses. I was like, what is this guy doing? And then we're like, yeah, we'll do a couple months. And then that turned into like 6 months. And it's just, man, it's like, then I can sit on here and talk to you, right? So
yeah.
We're literally doing it right now as well. It's yeah. not that complicated.
And the process that y'all put us through was so simple. I mean, like you just have to focus on three or four things, create a system around that, and then just got to get to work, right? Once you have a little bit of an intention, and you get some content put out there, I think people will get wrapped up in wanting to have it exactly perfect. Something that's going to take three episodes and take off and you'll be, you know, on the top 10 podcasts in the world. That's just not realistic. I think that Joe Rogan's podcast didn't hit until like episode 80 or something. It's like, you got to just take some steps and get some reps in before you can figure even out what people want, what people like, and what you enjoy doing, right? How you can do this for a long period of time. You told me yesterday that your podcast has changed like three times, like every 2 years it kind of shifts. And so, yeah, like somebody told me this one time, the habits that you have now that got you where you're at are not going to be the habits that get you to where you're going. But you got to start in order for you to just to figure out what habits you need to change and how you're going to get where you're going.
Yeah, it's so true. And we're very close to unpacking your exact podcast, because people who've been listening and watching this whole time probably won't want to know. Before we get into it, last question before that is, why did you hire help for your podcast? Why did you hire an outside company, quote unquote, for your podcast to, you know, for you and your team? Because a lot of times in business, I've also heard this thrown around, which I push back on a lot, which is outside vendors, they just want your money. They don't understand your business. They don't understand your client. They don't understand. They just went there for a retainer. And I've hired so many outside people. It's not even funny. And it's literally gotten to me to where I am today. But I want to know from your side, Jared, like, why did you hire help for the podcast? And then what did that do?
Yeah, dude, I'm a lawyer. I'm not a video guy. I'm not a content creator. I don't try to go and fix the roof on my house. I like to have somebody come and do it for me. I like having outside people consult me and teach me, right? I have a personal business coach. I have a fitness coach. When I'm looking to improve something in my life or to add something to my life, I want an expert to come and teach me. And that's part of the intriguing thing about what y'all do is that it was very practical and hands-on. Like we sat down and y'all started working. Like y'all gave me things and homework and we started working. I mean, again, I've had a lot of coaches in my life and some of them are good, some of them were not as strong. Y'all came in and gave us tangible things to walk away with. And we started moving forward. I mean, we started working with you 6 months ago and we had a podcast 2 months into it, right? Like we were taking actionable steps to get where we were going. And so, I mean, if you've been burned by a couple of consultants, it's probably your fault for not knowing how to pick a good consultant and hold them accountable to the expectations that you set, right? I mean, it's important to make sure that you have clear expectations with people and able to have hard conversations. But no, I'm always, I have, like I said, I have several people that consult me. I have a spiritual coach who's a priest in the community. I have a business coach who helps me mentally. We have financial people from the outside that come in and consult us on our books. And so it was a no-brainer for me to say, okay, who's the expert at helping people create podcasts? I'm going to go pull on them so they can teach me something so I don't have to go through all the heartache and a struggle of figuring it out myself. They can teach me what I need to know. We can get rolling faster that way. So I think that that's complete BS to say that consultants are always trying to have a dollar. I mean, you have to run a business too. You have goals. And so we've talked about your goals just as we've talked about mine. I'm more than happy for you to accomplish yours. That's how business works. But this is reciprocal. It's not just supposed to be one-sided. So, no, I mean, it's very easy for me to decide if I'm going to pull the trigger on a consultant. You can tell quickly whether you're going to jive with them, and you have to have enough self-awareness to know what you need. But outside third-party consultants can help improve your life so much faster than if you try to figure it all out yourself.
Yeah, they can't. They don't have any of the limiting beliefs too, which I think is a big one, where they don't see any of those barriers that you see because you've been in this game, or like, well, we're lawyers, so we can't do this, or we have compliance, so we can't do that. The outside parties, they don't abide by that. They go, why? Yeah. Why? You justify to me why we can't do it, right? That's another one of the big ones on coaching. So in terms of the podcast, right, what was the philosophy behind this? We have, you know, four or five main tenets or pillars or topics or, you know, whatever you want to call them with this show. It's not your traditional podcast, or especially traditional business podcast or B2B podcast. So can you talk a little bit about, you know, this show itself, the podcast you did for Arena Collective?
So the podcast is called the In the Arena Podcast. And our firm was named after the Man in the Arena quote, which was by Teddy Roosevelt. If you've ever heard it, it's awesome. It's an awesome speech. And so, you know, the purpose of our organization as a whole is to create an environment where our clients can succeed, clients and employees. And so the podcast was simple. It's the podcast is a platform to help our clients and our employees succeed. So we gear our podcast to promoting our clients. And so we have five pillars. So one is media. So we interview local media from the area that help promote businesses through video or through magazine ads or photography, and like helping them get their name out in our community to know what they do for our community. Secondly, we do community episodes where nonprofits or business leaders come on and talk about how they're making an impact on the community. Third is we have real estate professionals. So commercial real and residential real estate people in the community that are making an impact on real estate. Just local businesses in general, because there are some pretty incredible businesses in Southeast Louisiana. We just want people to know about them. And then the fifth pillar, which is my favorite pillar, are our military episodes. So we promote veteran-owned businesses in our area. So we talk about and honor the stories of the military veterans that live here. We talk about the lessons that they've learned while they were in the military and how those lessons have impacted what they're doing today. And so it helps our local military business owners to be able to promote themselves, but also people that are currently in the military, our objective is to let them know that there is life outside of the military. One of the biggest things you hear from our military is how hard it was to transition out. And we want to let people know that there are opportunities. We've got insurance agents, roofers, consultants, people who started a business right when they got done with the military, people who took years to figure it out. And so that pillar is near and dear to my heart. I love serving our military community. And so those are our five pillars, but it's all focused on our local community. All of the people we interview are local, and promoting them and then taking the information that they have and gearing the conversations on how we can teach business owners in our community how to be better business owners. So our ideal audience member, local business owners, and our ideal guest is just people in the community that are making an impact so that we can share their story and help other people in our community become better business people.
Sells itself, man. It really does. I love the mission. That's what I'm about. Purpose, mission, and obviously inspiration and giving people voices. That's what we do. And that's in turn what you guys are doing. Looking at this 40 plus episodes in now, been working on a podcast for 6 to 12 months. You got it out there. You're cooking. You're releasing episodes. What is it like now to have it actually out in the public and where people are sharing the episodes and listening?
Yeah. I mean, look, we're not getting millions of views on our podcast, but I get people in the local community that are text messaging me and saying, I really enjoy your content. And that means the world to me. I mean, it means that I'm making an impact on the community. People are enjoying what we're saying and what we're doing. And then the people who come here that interview with us and then to be so thankful that they can have their episodes to be able to share with their family and friends is important to me too. So, I mean, it's been really awesome to see the impact that we're making, even if there's not a huge impact yet, because we will get there. It is already making a difference. And one of the things that I learned quickly, or not quickly, over the year, I went back and thought about how and the questions we were asking, and I realized I'm not asking questions that would educate my ideal client. I'm just generally speaking. So we had a guy on the other day who sold a business in Australia, moved to New Orleans. It's a great episode. His name's Aussie Steve, but everybody calls him. And he talked about it was business and real estate and how he's adding value to the local community. And we asked very pointed questions about his family and who he is, but also about how he grew a business in Australia, sold that business, and how he's gotten into real estate. And we geared the questions very specifically towards our ideal client. So now, as opposed to when we started, way more intentional about the questions that we're asking and way more purposeful and trying to drive back to our vision, our purpose of teaching the community about the businesses and how to be better business people. And so now I feel way more confident going into 2025 about what we're going to say and how we're going to say it. And again, it just took reps and it took time for me to learn how to do that. And I can't wait to see, we're going to do 4 episodes a month. We're going to have, 48 episodes on our podcast going out next year. And I'm fired up to see who we talk to and what happens with the content as we go through it.
What would your advice be to that business owner who is saying, hey, I have this podcast idea, not sure how to execute, or I don't know when, or I don't know if people are going to listen, or any of those questions that pop up when you're putting this together? What would your advice be?
You're going to save time and money by meeting with Ryan at Podcast Principles, because what you're going to do is, I'm serious, what you're going to do is you're going to learn about what you need and what you need to do at the beginning in order to speed up the success of your podcast. If you do it by yourself, it's going to take you a lot of learning and you're going to mess up and you can avoid a lot of those mistakes and become successful faster, or find out through the conversation and the little money that you charge that it's not really what I need to be doing and spending my time doing. And so, I mean, the first thing you do is you got to have a plan. You got to be intentional. You got to have structure and you got to meet with people who know what they're doing and have the experience doing it. So, I mean, the first thing I'd say is call you guys. The second thing is really think long and hard about what your values are and who your ideal client is before you even get started. Because if you just start talking and you don't have intention behind it, it's not going to go anywhere. It's not going to work. You have to be intentional about it. So those are the two things. Call Podcast Principles and make sure that you actually have a plan before you get started.
Mic drop, man. Thank you so much, Jared. Seriously, dude, I appreciate you so much, your team. Before we get to where people can find you, is there any other, you know, closing thoughts, closing wisdom, any other advice or anything, man, to wrap up the episode? No pressure, but if there's anything you want to leave them with, I'm going to give you the floor for it, brother.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a business owner or you're a real estate investor, you have to build a relationship with an attorney. A lot of people feel like attorneys are going to charge you on day one. If you build a good relationship before you have a problem with an attorney, they're going to be invested in you. I would try to build relationships with your local community and the lawyers that you have in your area, just so that whenever you come across an issue, you're not trying to figure out who you're going to relate to. If you interview them now, you'll start knowing who you want to do business with whenever you actually have a problem or an opportunity or an idea that you want to flesh out. So that'd be the biggest advice to me. Don't be scared of reaching out to your attorney. They're not going to charge you on day one if you find the right people. They're going to want to invest time and energy in you so that you can grow and in turn give them the opportunity to solve legal problems.
Man, I think that's the best advice across the whole episode right now. It's getting me thinking. And like if I drive to the gym 20 minutes, no joke, I pass 7 law firms, you know? And then you're like, yeah, but who do I, hey, so, you know, do a podcast, you know, I mean, walk in, give somebody a phone call. But it's so key what you just said. And for business in general, too. What I did this year was I hired a new bookkeeper and I hired a new accountant. And And sure, I'm going to need a lawyer as well. I have a friend who's a paralegal who's working his way up where I can give him a call, ask him, you know, some general questions. But if you got to have these relationships with these pivotal people, like you said, whether you're doing it just one-on-one or through a podcast or through social media, if there's a lawyer in your town and they're releasing videos, okay, well, now we're, that might be your sign, right? Yeah. But great advice, Jared. I really appreciate that, man.
Yeah, buddy. Thanks for having me on. It was really fun.
So Jared Miguez, in the Arena podcast, Arena Collective, Arena Law Firm. I don't, there's too many other companies to list. Let them know, you know, where they can find you, find the podcast, all that good
stuff. Yeah. So we're on every social media platform. In the Arena podcast is our podcast. But if you go to YouTube and look for us, it's just at the Arena Collective, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, YouTube. You can find us anywhere there. And if you're in the area in Louisiana and you want to be on a podcast, just reach out to us. My email address is just jared@arenacollective.com. And I'd love to talk with you, see if you'd be a fit for us to be on our podcast and add value to our audience. So, yeah, I mean, I think if you're in the area and you want to be in touch, we have an office downstairs where you can just come and grab a cup of coffee. So if anybody's in New Orleans, you want to connect, just let me know. Reach out to us on our website or on our social media platforms.
Perfect. Thank you, Jared. Appreciate you doing this, man. Really do. Thank you so much.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate you, man.
You got it. I'll see you on the next one. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the newly improved Ryan Sullivan Show. Now, since this podcast has changed, I want to get some new people in here in this kind of new ecosystem, whether it's business, entrepreneurship, podcasting, social media content. So if you know anybody who likes content like this, maybe they're just starting their brand, make sure to share it with them. That's the only thing I'm going to ask you to do here. You know the deal. If you've listened once, make sure to hit that follow and subscribe if you actually enjoyed. And finally, really would mean a lot if you could share this with at least one person so we can continue to help people grow and launch their business and their podcast. Okay, I'll catch you next week.